Good morning. Happy Mother's Day for those of you who are sitting here and this is the first time you heard that it's Mother's Day. Don't react too strongly. They can't hear your heart race. It's right. Walmart's still open. Just act cool, calm, collected. Of course I knew it was Mother's Day. Come on. I love you. Right? So we've learned a lot from mothers. Mothers have given us a lot. And, you know, they give us wisdom, they give us love. And what we did is we put together a somewhat serious look at things that mom have taught us. That, you know, they give us words of wisdom. So we pulled together some great minds here, which is basically me. and we put together this little slideshow, this little movie. Let's take a look. You see, moms have given us a lot of wisdom, lots of wisdom. You know, moms have also given us life. So we got that going for us. That's a good thing. Hopefully you received like unconditional love and acceptance from your mom. You see, I believe that what moms do is important. I believe that if you're here as a mother, that what you do is important, that you are creating this legacy, that your story is creating this legacy that's being lived out, not just by your kids, but by their kids and their kids, that you are impacting generations of people, and you're impacting the people around you. And as followers of Jesus, just as individuals, that we too are leaving this legacy. But what would it look like if we could leave this godly legacy, that as a mom who's following Jesus, that is pursuing the heart of Jesus Christ, what kind of impact, what kind of legacy could you lead? So what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at three moms in the Bible. Three moms. Actually, two moms and a grandma, and how their life spoke and changed the lives and impacted their families and for generations. Because the truth is this. In 100 years, it's not going to matter how much money you have in your bank account, right? In 100 years, it's not going to matter what kind of car you drove, what kind of house you lived in, like what kind of circles you were in. What is important and what can change the world is if you are important in the life of a boy or girl. That is important. That can change the world. That's what you can be remembered for, is if you are significant and if you are important in the life of a boy or girl. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God just to come close as we take some time and welcome him so that we can honor God as we honor and bless and respect the moms who are here and the women that couldn't be here with us today. So let's pray. So God, I just invite you, I do invite you that you would just come close and you would rest on the people in this room. Because God, what we're desperate for is more of you. And Jesus, thank you for the legacy that you have set up. God, the legacy you've set up through your son, Jesus Christ, that we get to follow it and chase after him and try to be more and more like him and let his love just like come out through our lives and in this world. And I ask, Jesus, that you would bless the moms in this room for what they do. And as we study your word, I ask that they would be godly mothers who chase after your heart. They'd be friends of God. We love you. Amen. So where we're going to start is we're going to be looking at a mother and a grandmother, and their names are Eunice and Lois. These are names that you don't see etched on pillows. There's no VeggieTale cartoons about Eunice. This isn't a really popular biblical character, but this is a mom that had, and a grandma that had a large impact on her son, Timothy. And where we're going to start is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. There's Bibles in the chair. You can follow along. I'll also put up on the screen. Michael Gantlin, our senior pastor, will speak out of chapters of the Bible. I use one verse. So, good for you. All right. This is what Paul writes. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. Paul is writing to his friend Timothy. It's kind of like his right-hand man. And Paul has written a large chunk of the New Testament. He's a church planner, and he goes around and plants churches, and Timothy did this with him. And he meets Timothy in this town called Lystra, and when he meets Timothy, like they have this connection, like alter the course of like Christianity, that these two and a group of other people just went out amongst other countries and just preached the good news of Jesus Christ. But when he met Timothy, he also ran into his mother and his grandma. And these ladies had such an impact on him that he mentions it, that he writes it down. You see, what he says is this. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, so that's a big deal, but which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. How did Paul know about the sincere faith? Like, how did Paul recognize this sincere faith? He must have seen something in these ladies, the way that they talked, the way that they treated and loved the people around them. Like, not just what they did, but who they were screamed of the sincere faith. If you think about it, Paul and Timothy were really, really close. Very, very close. Like, Paul knew all the intimate details of his life. He knew Timothy's story. And what he attributes this sincere faith to isn't just this hard work. It isn't just to all the sacrifices Timothy made. He attributes this sincere faith also to his mom. Basically, he's saying, hey, you're just like your mother. Now, some of you, you hear that word, and you have this scary feeling because you've said this to your wife before, right? You're kind of chuckling because you're like, I don't want to say it again. In our culture, when you use the words, you're just like your mother. Is that good or bad? Usually it has a negative connotation. Usually you're saying this as you're running out the door, not in a straight line, but like zigzagging so she can't lock in on you, right? And she's like, stop, right? In our culture, even if you have like the best mother-in-law like I do, even if you use that, like it has this negative feeling to it. But here Paul uses this as a way of blessing, as a way of empowering, a way I believe even as like envisioning saying the legacy of your mom and your grandma and their desperation of following the kingdom of God and their faith has spilled out from their life into you. That's a powerful thing to say you're just like your mother. Because I believe that what you do as a mom matters, that you are leaving this legacy. You see, I believe that things are more caught than taught. I think things are way more caught than taught. Because, did these ladies teach Timothy what it looks like to have a faith? Absolutely. But I believe that this is him observing, of him taking in their life, of hearing what they say, but then actually watching what they do. Timothy caught it in such a way that Paul is calling it out as well. You see, as families, as individuals, we will say we have values. A value is simply how you do what you do. That's all a value is. It's how you do what you do. And we'd say, well, I have these American values. I have these family, well, moms wouldn't say it like that, right? But we have these family values, all right? Trying to speak to a demographic here, right? We say we have these values, and we can teach our kids and say, well, we really value money, and this is what we do. But if you take a step back, have you ever evaluated? Have you actually investigated what you value? Because you could say you value money and teach your kids that you value money, but when you look at your bank statements of the last couple months and you look at, do you really? Is this something you really value? Is this how you do? Because you see, I believe that our faith should spill out into every area of our life. That it should be something that is caught, not just taught. You say you might value family time, and you tell people this, and you tell your kids, no, you can't do that. You have family time. But have you looked at your calendar the last couple months, and how much time are you creating for your family? Are you creating sacrifices for this family in your time? See, I think it's caught more than it's taught. And what I want to do is I just want to look at like three things that happen in our everyday lives that I think that can help us leave this legacy of a godly mother, but a sincere faith in the same way that Eunice and Lois had. So the first one is this. I believe we can create this legacy in how we treat our spouses. How we treat our spouses. To the moms, how do you talk about your husband? How do you talk about your husband to your kids, to your friends? How do you talk about their kid's dad, maybe your ex-husband? How do you respond when money's tight? How do they see you respond? How do they see you respond when money's loose? Is that the right word? How do they see you respond when it's not? How do they see you respond when he comes in and he takes off his jacket and he's wearing a tuxedo and flowers appear and all of a sudden he just grew this big manly beard and he sweeps you off his feet and he turns on Greg Brown with his iPod and he's like, hey, baby, how you doing? Maybe you don't want your kids to see you respond to that, right? And maybe, the kids definitely don't. How does he respond when you walk out and he's on the couch in his old college sweatpants and he's got Cheetos on his chest and he's laughing at the not-so-funny jokes on NCIS? See, I believe that marriage can create this legacy to your kids of this value of commitment, of love, of beauty, of chasing after one another, of fighting for one another, creates this powerful, powerful legacy of teaching people this is what it looks like to be in love. That's just not about emotions or looks or how I'm feeling today. It's about I'm in this with you. And not only, all right, not only, hold on, back up. Let me speak to the husbands, the men in the room, just for a little bit, and I'll get back to the moms. I believe that the way we treat our spouse, men, is one of the best tools we can use to not only teach our kids how to treat their mother, right? Because you could say, hey, don't talk to your ma that way. They're going to do what you do. They're going to treat her like the way you treat her. Like, you should be treating her with love and respect as she's the most, valuable resource on this earth. If you do that, they will follow you. So not only the way we treat our spouse does that work, but it also teaches our sons. It teaches our sons' friends what it looks like to love a woman, what it looks like to be a man. For him someday to grow up and saying, that's how I want to treat my wife. I want to stand up for my wife in front of my friends. I don't want to just fall in line with culture and just saying, oh yeah, this is my wife. I want to be able to be a man that protects and honors her and is not ashamed and not afraid to stand up and saying, this is the woman I love and she's my best friend. You get to create that legacy for the men around you, for the boys among you. And it also teaches our daughters what it looks like to be sought after. Like I just had a daughter, well, I didn't, my wife did. I was there. I had something to do with it. We just had our first daughter 3 weeks ago. And she's gorgeous, I have to say that, all right? And I don't have to, I want to. So she's beautiful, but already this little girl has just wrecked my life. She has just destroyed my heart. And I'm thinking now, I want to set the bar really high for my daughter. I want to teach her what it looks like. This is what it means to be loved. Here, this is the kind of guy you want. I want her to be able to look up and say, not in an unrealistic way, but have the bar set high of saying, I just don't want to survive marriage. I want to be significant. I just don't want to just say, okay, you're a guy, I'm a girl, let's just get this over with. I want her to say, no, I am valued. I have worth. I am worth the chase. I believe, man, we can create this legacy. And it points back to this legacy of faith. That our faith should spill out in every area of our life, that it's caught more than it's taught. Another value that can point to this legacy is how we value our kids. How we value our kids. Two Fridays ago, I have two other sons. I have Cole and Max. They're 2 and 5. And my kids in school, and there was this carnival happening down at Lester Park Elementary School. Maybe some of you went to it. It's Friday night. I just got done eating. We had friends over. It's beautiful. It's like the first really, really nice night. And I'm wearing shorts and my sandals. And I just got done eating Thai food, and we're about getting ready to go. And I thought, oh, this is the last thing I want to do is go where hundreds of kids are picking their nose and wiping on my legs, right? They're jumping on bouncy castles, and techno music's blowing in your ears, and you have to walk in crowded hallways, and people are touching and rubbing you that you don't even know, and you're like, oh, right? It's just the last thing I wanted to do. So I did what any good parent would do that has young kids. And use the two words that communicates the same way as if you told an adult, you just won $5 billion. Ice cream. Right? And anytime, this is a game changer, anytime you use the word ice cream, the kids will stop what they're doing. They're like, yes, Dad, thank you. And I didn't use this as a way of blessing my kids. I'll be honest, all right? I didn't say, let me bless you sons with ice cream and cherries. I made it about me. I made it about me. I took the shortcut. I didn't want to go do that, so I tried to wiggle my way out of it. Here's what happens when I do stuff like this, right? You're going to enjoy this. My wife, after I said, how about ice cream? My boy's like, that sounds great. Carnival, who needs it? Ice cream! My wife has this face, all right? She has this face, all right? This is not my wife, just so you know, right? But when I Googled angry face, this is the closest thing I could get to it. And this is just a small snapshot of this face, because she has this face. She doesn't have to say anything, but it communicates this. Like the skies will open up, and clouds and the beasts in the air will make words that say, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? That face. That. And I'm like, because my kids are really excited. They're looking forward to going to this carnival. And my wife, she's got this crazy notion, this crazy idea that our kids have value. Really, she does. She really believes that our kids have worth. You see, my wife, she wants to communicate to these kids. She just doesn't want to say it. She just doesn't believe that the kids have like spot in our hearts, but they have room in our home and in our lives. She just doesn't want to tell them, you have value. I love you. You are worth it. My wife will speak in a relevant way to a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, which is what? By playing pirate mom. She'll get an earring that has a hook and put it in her hand like this, put the hook in and put a hat on. She'll chase our kids around as they scream and throw pillows at her. Like many moms do, she'll do the same puzzle like 15 times in a row in a half hour and pretend like it's brand new every time. Like, oh, you did it! Yay! See, my wife really believes that my sons have value. And she is not afraid to get on her knees. A lot of you moms, you're not afraid to get to their level and speak in a relevant way. That your kids have value and you're creating this legacy. See, my wife does this not just with like little kids, but she does this with like 17-year-old girls. And the pirate mom doesn't really catch on with the 17-year-old girls a whole lot. But she really believes that they have value. So she'll speak to them and encourage them, saying, you are worth more than this guy is treating. You are so much more precious and valuable than what you are settling for right now. Because she believes that every person has value and worth because we're made in the image of God. That you have value because God values you. That you are loved because God loves you. She does this with our neighbors. She does this in our community because she's trying to create this legacy of the sincere faith that you are loved. And I believe that we can create this legacy to our children, to the people around us, not just to the kids, but to our workers, our spouses, our parents, our friends, of speaking, you have worth, you have value because you're made in the image of God. I just believe, I think this is so, so powerful. So the way that we value our spouse, the way we value our kids. And lastly, how you value God. How you value God. And it's like, how we value God, but how do we really value our relationship with God? How do we value like our intimacy? Do we create spaces in our life? Do we create like areas in our life where we're actually like investigating like the fruit of our lives, like the decisions we make, what we do? Are we looking at the effects of them and saying, does that look more like Jesus or does that just look like more like me? Are we taking time to confess to one another? Are we taking time to confess to God so we don't just get stuck with the same addictions, the same lies, just the same junk over and over again? Are we pursuing the heart and the intimacy of the person of Jesus Christ? Because we could say to the people around us, we can speak to our kids and say, well, yes, we value a relationship with Jesus. Yes, we value intimacy in the heart of God. But like, if we're not really doing it, it's not going to be caught. You see, I believe that Eunice and Lois were women who were chasing after God's heart. and that it transcended, it leaked, that the sincere faith just leaked into the lives of the people around him in a powerful way. And maybe you're here and you feel like your story, your legacy is just, eh. Feel like your story, your legacy is just kind of average. Maybe you feel like it's one full of just despair and hurt and lies and anger and frustration. You feel like my legacy, my story is just, it's just not good. I believe that that story, that legacy can change now. I believe that your legacy, what you're leaving behind for your family, for your friends, it can start and change now in the person of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter just your past. Your past doesn't get to dictate who you are. It can, but it doesn't have to. But when we surrender to Jesus Christ and we say yes to him and we put our stock, we put everything we have in him, that story can change in an instant. And no longer am I just Chris Sauter. No longer am I this person of this hurt and this pain and this shame. But now I am the person who belongs to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. And my story, my legacy is in the kingdom of God. And that's the legacy I want. That's the legacy I want to set up for my sons, to the people around me. Eunice and Lois left this incredible legacy of sincere faith. And I believe as a godly mother, as a follower of Jesus, as a community of people, that we can have the same. The second mom we're going to look at is Hannah. And how she left this legacy of prayer. A legacy of prayer. We're going to be reading out of 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. And this is a prayer that Hannah makes. This is a prayer. And Hannah made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. We must focus on the purpose and value of children rather than on being parent-centered. Let me say that again. We must focus on the purpose and value of children rather than on being parent-centered. Like kids, we bring kids into this world not just so that they can mow the lawn, not just so they can make us look really good, not just so they can do the dishes, not just so that we can get some form of acceptance. Kids are brought into this world. God brought humans into this world, mankind. Why? To point back to him. That we can be a representation, that we can worship, that we can point to the glory of God. This is why we existed, so we can worship him. And our kids are no different. You see, Hannah understood this. Hannah totally understood this. She was a woman of prayer. She was a woman of faith. She was a woman of obedience. And out of the fruit, the byproduct of this life of prayer and trusting God that he is who he says he is, that she gives birth to this son, his name Samuel, who ends up being this incredible man who chased after God's heart, this powerful leader that led God's people. A huge character in the story of God. You see, Hannah couldn't get pregnant. Hannah couldn't get pregnant. She tried, and you read in 1 Samuel, for a long time. And she goes up to this place of where they worship God. And it tells a story of how this other woman started to poke her, like poke her. And they were mocking her and ridiculing her. And she got to her breaking point. In the middle of worshiping, she got to her breaking point. Out of desperation, she makes that prayer that we just read. God, if you remember your servant. She knew that only one thing could change this. Only one person could give her this, and that was God. And out of desperation, out of love, she cries out to God. And what does God do? He gives her a son, Samuel. And here's what Hannah could have done. This is very, very easy. Hannah could have just had that son and said, wow, hey, it worked. This prayer thing kind of works. Awesome. Hey, thanks, God. I'm going to take my son, and I'm going to go throw some baseballs, right? She could have just gone and done whatever she wanted to do. But if you read the prayer, what does she say? She goes, I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. She finally got the thing she was craving, the thing she was crying out for. And after a couple months after Samuel is born, she brings him back to the same place of worship. She hands him to the priest. She goes, he shall be the Lord's for all the days of his life. And she gives him to the priest to be raised in the ways of the God. She doesn't get to raise him. How incredibly hard would that be? Think about it. Of giving your son, giving your daughter over to someone else. But here's where Hannah just got a, like a little bit different. I make shortcuts by making promises of ice cream. She trusts God and gives them to God. She understood that God is the only way she's going to be able to live this life. She understood that God is who he says he is. That when she like made this cry and this promise, that God held up his end of the deal too. And she got to where she was because she was a woman of obedience and prayer, and she wasn't going to stop. I believe Hannah prayed every single day when she was pregnant and when the kid was little, and I believe that she never stopped praying for her son. You see in the next chapter that she was still able to visit him and support him. I believe that she never forgot to pray for her son. She continued to be a woman of prayer and obedience. And the fruit of that, because she continued to trust God, is that God gave her 5 more children. You see, I believe that there is amazing power in the life of a praying mom. Amazing power in the lives of the people around her and in her own life. That as a follower of Jesus, prayer is a game changer. It can move ground. Abraham Lincoln says this. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. They have clung to me all my life. You see, when I asked my wife, or my girlfriend at the time, Nikki, I asked her parents if I could have her hand in marriage, and they pulled me aside, and I thought maybe as they're pulling me in the corner where people couldn't see me, that they're going to put me in a chokehold and maybe put me in the trunk of their car, right? They pulled me aside, and they looked at me, and Sue, my mother-in-law, said, Chris, do you know we've been praying for you? Do you know we've been praying for you since our daughter was just a little girl? That we were praying, God, will you give our daughter this match, this man that just followed God's heart, that would be a man of God, that would love and honor and respect our daughter. So that says two things. First is that my in-laws were meddling in my life before I even knew them. Right? And number two is that they were like Hannah, that Sue was like Hannah. She understood the power in prayer. She understood that wasn't about her. She has a role to play. Dick and Sue had a large role to play in the life of Nikki and teaching her and allowing her to see the sincere faith in the life. And they could have went and slashed guys' tires so they couldn't come over the house. They could have tried manipulating Nikki into saying, no, you don't want him. Don't you want this? Ice cream, right? They could have done that, but they understood that it was up to God. That God was the one in charge. That God loved their daughter more than they loved their daughter. That he was going to be the one who would provide for them. And they cried out every single day saying, oh God, will you please, please, please bless our daughter. Like they got it. There's amazing power in prayer. And I believe that as a parent, as a mother, that our lives and our ability to parent can be empowered, like significantly empowered by the power of prayer. And I want to talk about just two different ways that we can pray. Two different ways as a mom. And I believe even just as a follower of Jesus that we can pray that can really empower our lives. The first one is this. Excuse me. The first one is this. Prayer for self. Prayer for self. And you may be here and you may feel like, well, that's kind of selfish. You know, I know a lot of moms. I live with one. Her name's Nikki. And moms, sometimes the needs of the people around them, the needs of their family, the needs of their jobs, the needs of their parents, the needs of their aging parents, the needs of their friends, of the people in small group, of their siblings, like sometimes the needs just feel overwhelming. And they just go, 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 and they just never really take time for themselves. Even as followers of Jesus, saying, well, I have to go pray for them. I have to, you know, I have to pray for these people. I have to do this, and I have to take care of them. But sometimes you miss out on, well, how am I doing? Because think about it. If we never take time to slow down, if we never take time just to stop and receive from the heart of Jesus Christ, if we never stop and listen to Jesus, listen to God say, this is who you are. If we never ask God, who do you say that I am, God? How do you love me? How do you accept me? Then what we do, if we don't have this, then we begin to have our identity rooted in all these other things. Our identity is in our kids, if they're doing well or if they're not doing well. If there's a crisis, we have a crisis, and it ebbs and flows with them. Our identity might be wrapped up in what, like, the other people say about how we parent or what kind of mother you are. You work? What's wrong with you? You don't work? What's wrong with you? You use diapers? What's wrong with you? You know, like, well, that doesn't make sense, but... Our identity can be wrapped up in it can be wrapped up in our parents and our in-laws and their expectations and their hidden expectations of trying to make it seem like we're okay, that we have value to them. And you know what? No one gets to tell me who I am. My kids, even my lovely wife, my friends, my job, my bank account, my successes, my failures, no one gets to tell me who I am. You know who gets to tell me who I am? Jesus. My identity is in the person of Jesus Christ. It's rooted in the kingdom of God. And I believe as a mom that if we don't take time, as a follower of Jesus, we don't take time to hear God's voice, to ask him just to refresh us, to give us vision for life, to just fall in love again and again and again with Jesus Christ, what are we serving? What are we offering? Hannah was a woman of prayer. And the second way we can pray is this, is prayer for families or prayer for others. It's a prayer for self and prayer for others. We use this word in the church. It's called intercession. Intercession is just a word that means, imagine this, interceding. That we ask God that he would come and he would show up in the lives of the people around us, in the lives of your kids. That God would invade their space, that he would just overwhelm them with love, protection, acceptance, with value, with worth, with love, with wholeness, with healing, with righteousness. Just that's all that means is we're just asking God to show up in their life. And it's easy sometimes just to live life without actually taking time to pray for our kids, to pray for our friends, to pray for our families. If you think about it, if we're missing on this huge, vast richness, we're not asking God what he's doing in the lives of the people around us. Because God wants to show us. You know that God is in the business of people, that he's in the people business, and he actually does a pretty good job, and he really loves people, and that he's up to something in their life, that he's working in their lives, in the lives of your 2-year-old, in the lives of like your 30-year-old and your 55-year-old. Like he's at work in all their lives. And if we're not taking time to say, God, will you show me what you're doing in the life of my daughter? God, will you show me what you're doing in the life of my son? We're missing on this opportunity of partnering with someone who loves our families way more than we do. God's for people. God's for your family. And I believe there is power, radical power, in praying for your family. I was talking with my wife about Hannah and about the dedicating of the kid. And my wife is a lot smarter than I am and better looking. And she told me, like, well, Chris, I read that story when our son was first born 5 years ago. And she goes, I was reading it, and as I was reading about Hannah offering this baby boy that she wanted so bad back to this priest, pretty much to this person that she didn't really know. So I was kind of offended. I was offended as a mother. And so she began to pray, and she felt like God spoke to her, and she felt like God said this, Cole, this son, he's always been mine. He's always been mine. You can dedicate him, but he's always been mine. He will always be mine. And something like switched, something flipped in Nikki's head where she began to see that it wasn't just like her, just us holding on to our family, to our three kids and saying, no, these are my kids and these are mine. But rather it was this incredible gift that God has extended to us, that your children is this incredible, valuable gift, this precious resource that God has placed in your hands. And what does Hannah do? Hannah just puts it right back up and say, no, I give them back to you. Nikki began to pray, God, thank you for this gift. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the time that we get to have with this beautiful boy, this beautiful daughter. And I give him back to you. He's yours. You do what you want. You do what you want. And what we call that is just being open-handed. It's very easy for us to hold on to the things that are ours, like, oh, this is my iPhone. Oh, it's mine. This is my kid. This is who I am. This is my money. This is my sexuality. This is my career. This is who I am. This is my family. And the more we hold on, I believe we're missing out. And living this life of prayer, living this legacy of prayer, is continuing to ask God, God, I give them back to you, and will you show up in their life? Will you rescue them? Will you speak into their life? Will you show them how valuable you are? Will you protect them as they go out? Will you give them the spouse they need? Will you give them the friends they need? Will you give them the wisdom? It's continually giving it back to them. And I believe when we do that as followers of Jesus, that when you do that as a mom, you are asking God to give you more and more and more. That there's this valuable power and also love and acceptance when we trust God and we give it back to him. The legacy of a godly mother. So this is where I'd like to end. I'm going to ask the mothers for something. I'm going to ask you for something. What I'm asking you to do, moms, that what you do, remind you, what you do matters. That you are leading this legacy, this story. And what I'm asking you to do is I'm asking you to fight. I'm asking the moms to fight like they've never fought before. To not stop fighting for this good fight of this legacy of the kingdom of God. To not stop fighting for this intimacy and the passionate pursuit of Jesus Christ. To not drop the fists and say, well, this vision, God, you gave me for my family, it's just too hard. My kids are adults. This vision you spoke to me when I was a young mom, it's just not working. Just give up. I'm sick and tired. Sick and tired trying to speak these hard truths. This vision you've given me about as a family that we're going to worship God, that we're going to be a family who follows after the heart of Jesus, it's just not going to happen. You just give up. I'm asking you to fight, to continue to reach out and love your kids, to continue to call, to continue to pray, to continue to cry out for God for their safety. I'm asking you to fight. Why? Because they're worth it. They're worth it. I'm asking you to fight for your marriage. I'm asking you to fight for the character of a godly woman as a godly man. I'm asking you to fight because you're worth it. Because God's worth it. Because Jesus Christ is worth it. I'm asking you not to fight. And here's the beautiful thing about being in the context of community, or being in a room full of other people, and being part of this community of people who follow Jesus, that you're not fighting alone. I know there's times, moms, that you feel like you're isolated, that you're alone, that you're distant, saying, I feel like I'm parenting, I'm living life, I'm the only one fighting, I'm doing this alone. But there's a room full of people here who are fighting for you and who are fighting with you. You stand with other mothers. You stand with other fathers, of grandparents, of individuals, as adults, as college students, as teenagers, as kids who are rallying around you and rallying around your family, continually saying, let's let God win. You're not alone. So I'm asking you to fight, to leave this legacy, that your story would scream of the sincere faith, that your legacy would be one of prayer and obedience to God. So what I'd like to do, this is what I'm asking you for, is I'm going to ask that you, as moms, if you're a mother here, you don't have to, but I'm going to ask that you'd stand, because I'd just like to pray a blessing over your life. So if you would, stand with me, moms. And all I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. That's just the tangible presence of God, the practical presence of God, and we ask him to come close. And I believe that God's going to begin to deposit this blessing in your life. And if that's something you want, if you feel like something you crave, maybe something you need, just receive it. However you say yes, just receive it. Pretend that it's like you're face-to-face with Jesus, not just me in this goofy-looking haircut. So I'm going to pray. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. And I ask, God, that you would just make yourself known right now in the lives and the hearts of these women, of these moms. And God, where they feel discouraged, where they feel isolated, where they feel alone, where they feel like there's not a whole lot of fight left in them, God, I pray that you would show up and you would bless them. That God, you would show up, you would deposit in them just your presence, your Holy Spirit, and God, that out of their lives would just be screaming this legacy of sincere faith. Out of them would be coming just the kingdom of God, that what they do, that who they are, God, would point back to Jesus. We empower them to continue to fight for their families, to fight for intimacy with you, to fight the good fight. And I ask Jesus that they would just lead changed lives, that the women in this room can change the world and the way that they love a boy or a girl, their spouse, their parents, their neighbors. I ask God that you would just deposit that ability to love and just bless them. Will you bless them, God? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can we give a round of applause for the moms in the room? Thank you. I mean that. I thank you. Thank you for the way that you love and the way that you fight. What you do matters. All right, now I'm going to ask everyone to stand. I know, I make you stand a lot. We're going to take some time here where the worship team is going to come up and we're going to take time just to worship Jesus. And all worship is, again, by putting God in the center. And just the way of singing is singing songs, the way we love God and what we know to be true about God. But every single week, we take time here just to pray for one another because we really believe that God just doesn't like us, but he loves us. And so if you're on the ministry team, can you make your way up? These are people who are for you. They're for your life. They're for your family. And they just want to bless what God's doing in your life. And here is what I'm going to invite you to be a part of. If you're here and you feel like your story, your legacy, like regardless of where you're at in your faith or your spirituality, if you're investigating Jesus or you've been a student of Jesus for all your life, maybe here today and you feel like, I want my story, I want my legacy to reflect the heart of Jesus Christ. And maybe you feel like there is hurt, there is pain, there is despair. Or maybe you just feel like it's, like I said earlier, like it's just, eh. And you want to receive, again, the empowering vision of being a godly mother, a godly father, a godly follower of Jesus. These people here would love to pray with you. And if you want anything else going on in your life, from finances to family issues to whatever it might be, these people up here would love the chance to pray with you. Happy Mother's Day. I hope it is an excellent, excellent day, and I thank you for coming to the Vineyard Church.